Hey fam, in today's episode, I had the incredible opportunity of sitting down to have a conversation with Dorcas Mutumbo, who is the founder of Emilia D. I think that you guys are going to enjoy her wisdom, her personality, the joy that she brought to the show, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
The Business of African Fashion podcast is all things fashion and business. We specifically talk about how African fashion entrepreneurs can learn, grow, and develop skills to dominate the fashion industry. I'm your host, Victory, and welcome to the show.
Okay, awesome. We are live. Hi. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Business of African Fashion podcast. I'm so excited for our guest today. Today, I'm in conversation with Dorcas Mutumbo, and she is the founder of Emilia D. And I reached out to her cold turkey on Instagram, and I was so excited and thankful that she agreed to be here today to talk about her journey in fashion, what she's doing, where she's headed, challenges that she's faced, and just to have a conversation with everyone and to share her perspective. So, Dorcas, welcome, welcome again to the show. It's good.
Thank you. Good to thank have you for you. Having me.
yes, of course. Okay, so we can just jump right into the conversation. I think, So I've looked through your Instagram page. Like I said, Dorcas is the founder of Emilia D. She has her own fashion brand. And I see that you recently just graduated from fashion school. And that is awesome. Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Yes, my first question for you is, how did you start in fashion? Was this something that started in childhood for you? Was someone in your family doing fashion? How did it get started for you?
So I think I always say that fashion was embedded in me. So my name Dorcas is a Bible name. Dorcas used to sew in the Bible. She used to make clothes for people in the Bible. She's the lady who passed away. And then people went to cry to Peter, like, now who's going to make us clothes? And then Peter went and prayed for her, and she came back to life. And my parents thought that was a cool name to give me. So they gave me her name. And they wanted me to be like her, pretty much. And then I think when I was younger, my aunts, I have few aunts in the family who can sew and who used to sew. And apparently, because the stories I've been told, I was always with them. I even end up cutting some of the clothes that I've sewn already that were hanging up. I was always around. And but then I never really thought about it as a career. I never thought anything of a career, really. And then when I finished primary school, I remember asking my parents if they can send me to a fashion school. And they were shocked. They were like, okay, no, we can't send you now. First go to that school. And then you study until you get to the year in the 10th grade when you can choose your subjects. Then you can go to that school. And I think their thinking then was, because, you know, in Congo, where I originally come from, people are like, if you're studying fashion, you're pretty much ready to get married and you're not smart. So I think my parents probably had the fear like, okay, this girl, she's going to go study fashion. What is she going to do with it? Is she going to be a tailor or just sew under the tree somewhere, or what's going to happen? So I think they had that fear maybe. But I ended up going to the school that they had suggested. I did my 2 years there. I did my 2 years, and then we moved here to South Africa. And of course, coming from a French country to an English country, didn't really have time to think about fashion. I just was thinking about learning English and the nearest school we could find. So I went to a normal high school, did high school there, never chose a career. And then when it was time to choose career, I was like, fashion. And my parents were like, cool, there's a fashion school. So that's pretty much how it happened. I never really chose it. It was just there, but it was also not there. And then it just happened. Like that.
I hear you. That is awesome. And I love that you mentioned how you had aunties who would sew, and you were always kind of surrounded by fashion. So it kind of seeped in little by little. I think similar to you, for me as well, fashion was something I started from family. My great grandmother was actually a tailor. And when I was a teenager, I found her sewing machine, and that's how everything started for me. So I love that you have that family background with your fashion journey. So I know you recently just graduated from Elizabeth Galloway, which is a fashion school in South Africa. Can you tell us more about that experience? How did you decide on Elizabeth Galloway? How did you go about applying? Do you think it's like, what was the process like for you?
Yeah, that's such a funny thing. So when I applied for fashion school, I found a fashion school called Oakfield College. And I applied and they had an interview for me. I did the interview and I found that I'd only have 3 classmates. I was like, okay, that's fine. And they accepted me. I was happy. And I was like that first person to have a college to go to. All my classmates were still looking for universities and colleges. And then, so I was fine. I wasn't worried about it. And then a week before school start, they call me and they tell me, well, they've canceled the course because they don't have enough students. I was like, what? What is this to do with my life now? And that time, I had my very first job, so I couldn't even leave the job to go look for a school. So my dad actually went. So I started looking for fashion schools pretty much. And then I found one and I went there with my dad and I didn't like it. It felt like I was leaving from my house to my neighbor's house. And I was just like, nah, I don't like the school. And then there was a university as well. I didn't like it. And then the website was just not attractive to me. And then I found Elizabeth Galloway. No, and then when we went to get our refund from the other college, they suggested Elizabeth Galloway. And then I Googled it and the website was just like, wow, I loved it immediately. Like the website was the one thing that attracted me to the yellow. It was bright. It was all these pretty drawings. And I was just like, yes, that's where I want to go. And then the day I was supposed to go there, I had to go to work. So my dad actually went and did all the open days for me. And he went in and registered me and he met the Elizabeth. And he came like, oh, my gosh, I just met Elizabeth. I was like, really? She's still alive? Because, you know, like when you hear of these schools, they're so old, you just think like the person isn't there. And then I was like, I'm so excited to meet Elizabeth. She's going to be one of my lecturers. And that was pretty much how I went to Elizabeth Galloway for 4 years.
Wow. That is an incredibly funny but amazing story. And I love your humor because, first of all, that speaks to the power of e-commerce, the website, right? That was everything for you with Elizabeth Galloway, as opposed to the other school that you decided not to go. And then also, I love how you're able to see your challenges, not as like, this is the end, but as a way to pivot and kind of do something else. When the first fashion school didn't work out, you went to something else. And I love to see that resilience. So I guess from your experience, you've done 4 years of fashion school. Do you believe it's a requirement to go to like an organized formal education to be in the fashion industry? Or would you say that there are different ways in order to get to that final destination?
Well, in our new world right now, people pretty much just go to YouTube and learn how to sew. You can be very famous and rich and you can just suddenly become a fashion designer, suddenly, which most fashion designers think it's very annoying because we like get to go to like school and you learn all the patterns and you like go through all the challenges and then someone just suddenly becomes a fashion designer and you're like, but how? How did you do that? So I don't really know if I should say it's a yes or no, but when it came to my experience, I think it was very important for me to go and study because I'm kind of person where I won't necessarily sit down and try and figure out something on my own. Like if you show me, I will remember it and I'll do it great. But if I don't have interest for it, I won't go look for it. So like even fashion, I was never like in a rush to learn how to sew. I was like, when I get there, I'll do it. I went to fashion school with zero knowledge. I didn't know how to sew. I never sewed anything. Just went there. And so I think it was very necessary for me. You get to learn lots of things. You get to be in the environment that same people are going through, and you also get to meet people from the industry. Mm-hmm. You get to learn how to sew from professionals who are not just like, you know, doing things from the side that they found on YouTube, but they actually have studied these ways, and they're like, okay, if you do this, like that, it works better. So mm-hmm. you get to learn those things like that in a very intimate, because my school was very small, so it was a very intimate setting, and you have all the help in the world that you need. So it was a very, I think it was a very, very necessary thing for me to do, for me to experience, and also just for my personal growth as well. I've grown so much in those 4 years.
Yeah. And I appreciate your perspective, because you're saying, what I'm understanding from you're saying is, it depends on the person, right? It depends on what they want to do for their career, for their brand. Yeah. And it depends on what they want to get out of the experience. So for you, you said it was important for the networking, to learn from professionals, and just to immerse yeah. yourself in that environment. And I love that you mentioned something else. You said you're not the type of person to try to figure it out on your own. That is so key, because I think one thing about life is that if you can learn from someone who's gone ahead of you, rather than trying to figure it out on your own, why not do that, right? So, and I know the conversation about fashion school is a little bit tricky, because not everyone can afford to go. Some people, like you said, learn from YouTube, and I'm one of those people. But in yes. any way that I can, I want to always keep learning. And the valuable lesson here is, who can I see that has done this before? Whether that's a mentor or someone else who's ahead of you, just so you're not trying to reinvent the wheel and figure everything out by yourself from scratch. So I appreciate that you mentioned that.
Yes.
So when you were in fashion school, is that when you decided to turn this into a business, or did you always have the fashion business kind of on the side? Was there like a aha moment, like Oprah would say? Did you have one of those like moments?
Your questions are so aha. It's like every question, I'm like, it's like a story every time. Well, so I always wanted to have my own brand. That was a thing that I always wanted. But then I always wanted to do it after I finished studying. So mm-hmm. when I got to fashion school, and in our first year, we had, well, in all the entire program, you have a business course. So we had to then do our own business. The point of the business was to learn how fashion business works, if you can actually sell a product, and how to present a product and all that things. It wasn't like the one who makes the most money is the one who pretty much passes the course. It was more like, what did you learn from the experience? So you do your thing, and then many people will come there and like, we miserably failed at running this business, and they ask you why. What happened? What did you learn? And according to your answers, that's how you get marked. And my school was they had a very good system where we didn't do any exams, we didn't do tests, and we didn't have marks as in like you're 50% or you're 70%. We had projects every single week, and pretty much our marks were given into words. So it was either compatible, not yet compatible, or merit, or, you know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was not, you wouldn't be in a competition with your classmates. And mm-hmm. we worked like that. We were in a group of three or four. We started our nappy business. We made fabric nappies for babies to sell. And that was okay, people actually do that. So we did it. And we never sold a nappy. But I was supposed to be the one getting everybody know about our business, to a point where I even got us a radio interview. And I was like, okay, I'm good at this.
Wow, you're good. That's marketing right there.
I was like, okay, let me try this thing. And then, so our business was pretty good when it came to like, selling, and we never really made much. We made very little money out of it. We didn't make much. And then after that, in January of 2019, my siblings and cousins, we went to the beach, and my cousin was telling me on the train, his friends wants to start a t-shirt business with him. And I was like, oh, I also want to join into this business. I know about fashion and I know how to sew, and I can help in that way and be part of this business. He was like, oh yeah, that's cool, I'll tell my friends. And they never came back to me. And I just saw the potential of this business. I couldn't sleep at night. I just wanted this business to go. Because I'm like, that person, when I have an idea, I want to do it now. So they were taking too long. They were dragging too much for me to wait for them. And I just went like, okay, guys, I'm starting my t-shirt business without you. So that's how I started my business. So and it was so fun. It was like everything worked at that very moment. A factory came and dropped the fabric. They always used to drop like the leftovers or the waste fabrics. So they dropped it there, and those mostly were t-shirt wastes. So they dropped them there, and I asked my lecturer if I can take those pieces of fabric, of t-shirts pretty much already even cut, and use them and launch this business. And then when I make money, I'll pay back the school. She was like, cool. So I took those t-shirts, I mean the fabric, and I made the t-shirt. And funny enough, the same week we learned how to screen print. Now I can print my own t-shirts. So I did it. And then like a week later, a friend calls me and he tells me they're organizing this event if I want to come with some clothes to sell. I was like, okay, now this is where I'm gonna launch. So it was like everything happened so quickly, but at the right moment. And in March, I launched the brand just like that. It's so interesting. So that's how I pretty much launched the brand in 2019. And people loved my t-shirts, and I was sewing them and printing them myself. And slowly, as I made money, I started buying fabric, and I started going to more markets, and I started printing the t-shirts professionally. And then the more time went by, I went to my lecturer with money. I was like, here's the money that I owe this school. And she was like, nah, it's fine. Put it back into your business. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, I wasn't expecting that, but thanks. So I kept with the business, and it went on until COVID happened. That was a nightmare. But yeah, that's pretty much how I started the brand. And then COVID happened. I had a 2-year break. That's when I pretty much finished my diploma. And then I specialized in knitwear. And then I graduated this year. And then I had that opportunity to pretty much, I was like, okay, fine, I'll start my business later again. I'll just focus on styling and photography. And then the manager of the market I'm attending calls, send me a DM, and he's like, if you want, we want you to be at our market. I was like, okay. So we met. And then he gave me 40 days, like, this is the best time for you to start selling before winter comes. I was like, okay, cool. So, which means I have 40 days to relaunch my brand. And I'm like, I love a good challenge. I was like, cool. And then so far, I only had 3,000 rand in my account. And I was like, cool, let me just start this business again. That's pretty much how I restarted.
Wow. I love that story. It's for me, what stuck with me was you saw an opportunity, right? And then you went after it. And you kind of just put whatever you had together, and you trusted that it would work out somehow, and it did. I love how you also mentioned that COVID was tough for everyone. So I definitely hear you when you say that was a nightmare. It for sure was. I love how you said you've now restarted your brand. So let me ask you this. That t-shirt brand that you started initially, is that one that now transitioned into Emilia D, or is Emilia D a completely different brand?
No, Emilia D is the name of the brand. The t-shirt was part of Emilia D. It's just that's the starting point of the business. That was what I had to sell. I couldn't make close then.
Gotcha. And speaking of, you said you had 3,000 rand in your account. So speaking of money, how did you plan financially for your business? Did you have like a structured plan, or were you more of like a we'll do it as we go kind of gal?
My God, I was broke. I was supposed to, so I actually, while I was specializing for my knitwear, I was knitting my collection last year. one man that I met at the fashion show in 2020, because I spoke to him about the skirt he was wearing, he somehow remembered me. He came and we spoke, and he was like, oh, but he's looking for someone who can produce his knitwear for him. So if I want, I'm hired. I was like, cool. And I was hired on the spot. So nice. I started working with him for 3 months. And then he went to Kenya. And then I was supposed to wait for him when he comes back, because I worked very closely with him. So when he comes back, then I'll work with him again. But then when he came back, I wanted to go to Port Elizabeth for some knitwear. I just became very obsessed with wool and knitting. I wanted to go see the whole system there. So then that time dragged. And in the time that it was dragging, that's where the opportunity of going to the market came. But also while I was waiting for him, I did a small job, a styling job, where I had to sew some stuff for a commercial. And that's where that 3,000 rand came. That was my salary after I did that. And that was the money I used. And it was such a difficult thing, because it's like everything is so expensive and I do not like to sew. I don't enjoy it. It's so stressful. So I have to outsource everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have to pay people to sew for you. You have to buy fabric and all of that. And then money is so tight. So I pretty much had the 3,000 rand, and then I borrowed some money from my sister, and my parents chipped in a little bit. And then I think it all came up to, like, I don't know, 6,000 rand, something like that. That's all I had. And then that only could make like about 20 pieces of clothes. And I was like, just made some t-shirts and some sweaters. And then I called, and I remember I was so stressed, and I'm like, but how do I show up at the market? I only have so little clothes. How am I going to do this? And then I called one designer that I interned with. I'm like, yo, I'm stuck. Like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, girl, you're going to a market. Even with one t-shirt, it's okay. As long as you're starting somewhere, so relax. And I was like, whew, okay. I'm okay. I'm doing fine. I have 20, not one. So it's okay. Mm-hmm. And those were just calming for me. And every time I was so stressed, I just remembered. I'm like, okay. And then that's pretty much how I just went to the market. And I was so surprised. Like, so many people came from Instagram, people from Instagram or people that I knew. They just came to support and show some love. And it was such a nice launch day for me. I remember when some people came and they brought me flowers. I was like, oh, thank you. I love flowers, which is so nice. And so that was pretty much how I did it. It was not really like money structured, especially when you, I mean, I'm not a rich person, so I don't have like money lying around. So I pretty much just work with what I have, and the money that I'm able to make from profit, that's what I reinvest in the business and keep going.
Yeah, so many things that you said that stuck with me. I'll say two. The first one is the power of reaching out to your network and talking to mentors. I think it's such, like, they just kind of pull you out. Like, because I tend to overthink. So when I'm spiraling, I love having people to reach out to and say, hey, I need a different perspective to look at this situation. I need someone else to kind of, I need a different eye to look at this so that I don't sabotage myself from overthinking. And I love that you reached out to that mentor that you had, and they were able to help you see the situation from a different perspective. The second thing that you keep saying that I love so much is that you keep saying, I reinvested the money in the business. That is so important, because I think in this age of glamorizing and social media, we can get the temptation to want to live a certain type of lifestyle based on the first profit that we see from our businesses. And it's dangerous to fall into that trap, because you might end up creating this persona that's not sustainable instead of reinvesting the money back in your business. So I think for everyone watching, this is a valuable lesson that Dorcas has shared. Even if you're making a lot of money from your business, always, always reinvest the money back into the business, because you're developing that healthy foundation for your business to be able to stand on. So my background is actually in accounting. I work in accounting as my 9-to-5, and I do fashion, you know, every other time during the week. So I always always I'm curious to hear what people's like financial mindset is, especially as business owners, because I think it's important if we want to, you know, take our fashion businesses to compete at the international level, which they can, but we also need to be very strategic about it when we're doing those things.
Definitely. Now, if you don't reinvest, then you're just like putting yourself up for failure, because how else are you going to make money unless you have like an angel godfather who gives you money every time?
And most of us don't, right? Most of us don't have that. So my next question for you is, what challenges have you faced so far in your business? And particularly, what challenges have you faced operating your business in South Africa?
I think one of my biggest challenges at one point was a creative block, because because you're starting on your own and you're a business owner and you just came from fashion school, you're like freshman, like the purest you can find. And you don't really know much, and you have less, you don't have that much experience, and you're doing everything on your own. You are the garment tech, you are the one who's checking that your garments are correct, you're the one shopping, you're the one delivering, you're the one going to the market, you're the one doing social media, you're the one doing everything, and you only have one brain. And then it gets and then it's like, you can't get ideas from everyone. And like, I would sometimes ask my dad, and then he's just like, okay. I mean, he knows all the fabric shops and he takes me everywhere, but like, he can't tell me this design is good. He can't tell me, yeah, that fabric is better or this one fits better. So not having a fashion perspective sometime to be right there and look at your work and think with me was very difficult. I spent about more than 2 months, almost 2 months, without being able to create anything. And I was just stuck completely until I had to reach out. I had to reinvest my money elsewhere where I wanted to develop some new prints. So then I called a friend and was like, well, I need you to develop prints for me because I can't develop. I have no capacity. I don't have the time. My brain isn't working and it's stressful. So she was like, cool. So I paid her some money and she developed. And when she developed it for me, I had such an interesting thing that happened. And so she emailed it to me and I opened it. And I looked at it, it was like my brain opened up and it started working. I was like, oh my gosh, I like this. I want this to change. I want to add this and that. It was like, oh my gosh, I actually really did need help and I needed someone to do something for me for my brain to start working. So right after I did that, it's like my creativity started coming back. And that was pretty much when I just started outsourcing or asking for help when I needed.
I love that, because my next question was going to be, how do you overcome challenges? And what you said is you ask for help. This is just incredible. Amazing, because I think, and I struggle with this too, asking for help, because somehow I believe this idea that asking for help means you failed, but that isn't true. We all need help. So I think it's really important that you mentioned that asking for help kind of helped you, in your own words, like your brain opened up and you were ready to create once again.
If you don't ask for help, you can't do everything on your own. I mean, when I say I ask for help, it's like I pretty much ask for a service because I had to pay for it.
Right.
But also, I still ask for, like, if I do need some kind of help from someone, I can get. Because right after that, someone sent me an email and they were like, we would like to be your intern. I was like, what? How would anyone want to be my intern? What do you want to learn from me? I'm like still working from my bedroom. Like, what? That was so weird. And I was like, okay, well, you can become my intern if you want. And when she came and we were working together, I showed her my designs and I was like, and she was like, yeah, no, this one is good. Okay, this one's like grandma style. This one needs to go. This one, maybe add this. Maybe this one, do this. And then we like put it together and I was like, okay, cool. I managed to work faster and I had a thinking buddy and I had someone who could tell me see it in a different way and tell it to me, and I can still decide and say if it was good or if it wasn't working. But it was good to have someone think with me instead of me just thinking by myself.
Yeah, I love that. Just having a different eye to look at it for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I love that. And I'm taking notes because, listen, keeping all the gems handy. So I guess my next question for you is, how do you, as a entrepreneur, someone who's starting out in the fashion industry, how do you maintain or take care of your mental health as someone who's operating in this space?
Just that again, how do I maintain?
How do you maintain your mental health?
I think praying helps. Because sometimes it's like, oh my God. Yeah, it's like you have to pray, but also sometimes praying isn't enough because, okay, it is enough, but like sometimes it doesn't feel like enough because like right now it's winter in South Africa, which means generally people don't really shop much. And for the first time, I mean, when I went to the market, I was making money every week and I was just like, yay, this is good, this is working. And then bang, my sales started dropping and I couldn't understand it. And everyone's like, no, but it's business. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low, and it's the weather. I'm like, but my best-selling days, it was storming, raining outside. So that's not an excuse. And no matter whatever reason anyone was telling me, it was not working for me. It was like my mind was not understanding it. I was not happy and went on for like 3 weeks. I ended up even 2 days. I think on 2 Sundays, I didn't make even 1 sale. Oh, my heart was broken. I had chest pain. I was in pain, like pure pain, just so painful to experience it. And at one point, I felt like I spent an entire week in bed. Like, I just wake up, I'm like, oh, this is not working, this is not okay, and you want to cry and it's like so hard. And I remember when I called my intern, I was like, yeah, please just don't come, like I'm not okay today to work with you, just go back home. And it was very stressful, but I had enough support to you know, like just having someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And also I guess pray. But then when people tell you, like, this is, tell me personally, like, that's how business works. For me, it's like, no, it's not supposed to work like that because we still wear clothes. And that's why there's winter clothes. And then it's like, I don't know. So for me, it was not making much sense. So I struggled a lot. I think at one point I was like, oh my gosh, am I getting depressed? I was that sad. And then after a while, like last week, I made peace with it. I was like, okay, fine. This has happened. Now I must just move on. And there were things I had to be grateful for. And that time I had a bit of a thing that happened with one of my manufacturer. And then I was unable to finish my payment with one of them. And then which meant that my stock was held back. And my other manufacturer was just like, yeah, you can take this. And then when you have money, you can pay me. And I just thought about it. I was like, because my love is knitwear, and knitwear to produce is so expensive. Mm-hmm. So you have to always have a lot of money to do it. And and this man just was like, it's okay. Take this, go and sell it, and then pay me when you have money. And I sat there and I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I remember that day I woke up, I went to the stores, I bought a bouquet of flowers, and I went and was like, no, thank you. Because what you did for me helped me to move forward and to get what I need. And that made me feel good. I felt good about things. He was happy. And my things just started working, and I was also just getting better and like in a better mood. And then I went to the market and I made some money and I was happy. So I'm quite happy now. But it was dark and sad for me to experience. That was one of the biggest time. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Because when things don't go the way we want, it can be really, really stressful. So I definitely, like, that resonates with me because I'm someone who struggled with anxiety So like mental health is such a priority for me, and I always make sure that I just shed light on it so that everyone can see that if you are struggling with anxiety or depression, you're not alone, and there are resources out there that can be helpful for you. So you mentioned knitwear. Tell me more about that. How did you fall in love with knitwear?
That's another funny one. So when I got my diploma after my 3 years, I decided to do an advanced diploma. So I didn't want to do a degree because the degree was more like theory-based and I wanted to do practical stuff. So I did an advanced diploma. And then my lecturer was like, in advanced diploma, you have to specialize in something. And then I went to bed. And one random morning, I woke up and I was like, knitwear? I want to learn how to knit. That's just how it happened. And it was like, it won't make sense for me to like specialize in dressmaking or sewing a shirt because I can sew it. Anyone can sew it. I want to learn something that I have never done before, a new skill. And that's pretty much how I'd say. And my lecturers were like, but we don't teach knitting. I was like, well, I want to knit. And then they were like, cool, you can learn how to knit. And they got me, there was a little knitting, very old knitting machine in the storage that they got out for me. And then they started teaching me how to knit. But this machine was so old, it kept on breaking every time. It was very stressful to use. So I was like, no, this is not working. And then, and time was going by. And then they started teaching me how to knit. They were like, okay, but now if you have to knit like 6 jerseys, it's going to take you a long time, especially because I'm a new slow knitter, can't knit. And so then they were like, yeah, now you have to learn how to crochet because it's going to go faster. And at that time, last year, everyone was crocheting. It was hectic. And I was like, but now I can't follow. I can't, because if I crochet now, it's like I'm following the trend. And I don't want to do that. I want to remain, and like knitting is more classic and it looks better. I mean, crochet also looks nice, but knitting was what I wanted to do. And one of my friends was like, no, she said to me, I understand why you would want to crochet, but you wanted to knit. So don't let anyone stop you from doing that. Because I actually started crocheting. And when she spoke to me, I was like, okay, fine. Yeah, I will just knit then. So then I started learning how to knit. And it's so funny. My lecturers were like, bring some wool so you can learn how to knit. My dad, of course, we went shopping for wool. Imagine two people who can't knit go shopping for wool. And then I came with wool at school. My lecturer was like, what is this? Came up with some synthetic stuff. And she was like, you can't use this. So then they told me if I can contact a company called Cape Wools that does knitwear. I mean, that is pretty much the middle ground between the fashion industry and the knitwear and wool industry. So Cape Wools. Yeah. So then they gave me their email, and then I pitched them my idea and what I wanted. And I told them that I wanted wool because I want to do this project, and they were like, fine, they will sponsor me some wool. I was like, cool, because wool is very expensive, very very expensive. So then they sent me 2 boxes of wool. I was not expecting it was a lot of wool. I mean, they told me how much, they asked me how much I wanted, and I told them. My lecturer was like, a jersey can take like, I don't know, 300 grams or whatever. And I was just like, 300 grams. Then I said that. And then it came to so much wool. I was like, okay, this is a lot of wool. And then it was so funny because when I got my wool, I was supposed to go intern by this, at this company. And I was like, it was 2 weeks before. And one of my classmates was like, don't you want to go intern for me on my day? And then I will intern on your day. I was like, nah. She was like, no, please, please, please. Okay, fine. So I went and interned for her on that day. And on that very day, my host came with her new knitwear. I was like, wait, where did you get that from? And she was like, oh, but I can't tell you, because if I tell you, I had an intern here who pretty much copy and pasted my entire business after a year of interning. So like that for me is very sad. So I don't want to give you, like, I don't want to give people my stuff anymore because people took advantage of me, which I was like, that's fair, that's fine, I understand. And then someone made an oopsie at the internship, so she sent us all an email, very not happy, and I sent her back an email to apologize on everyone's behalf, and she was like, but you didn't do anything wrong, you were fine and everything. I was like, but I mean, you gave us an opportunity because no one wanted to have interns. It was during COVID time, and people were scared to be infected, and bringing, like, I don't know, 20 students to your company is hectic, and you gave us that opportunity. So it's not good that someone messed up like that. And then we just sent each other back and forth emails, and then she was like, by the way, here's the number of that lady who knits. I was like, did I have to apologize to do that?
That is amazing.
I didn't know she was going to do that. And then I immediately called the lady, and she was like, come. And I went to her studio 2 days later, and we knitted a sample, and she was like, well, the floor is yours. You can knit and stay here as long as you want. I was like, yes, this is great.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I stayed there. I knitted there for 3 months, and everyone loved me. I loved everyone. We worked so well together. I learned how to knit. I was there for 3 months knitting. It was so interesting because the company that gave me wool was like, in exchange for wool, we would like for you to speak about the wool because we want people to learn about it. So I pretty much, at that time, I really hated Instagram. I did not like Instagram. Like, just like, but then my school always told us we have to have Instagram. That's why I had an Instagram account. Now I have to make videos about wool. So now I have to be smart about it. So I pretty much took my phone and just put there, and then I just let people watch my knitting. I write a little bit about it. And for some reason, people loved it. Like, people were in my Instagram stories every day. I was like, okay, this is cool. The encouragement encouraged me to keep making videos. So I was making videos every day. And like, I remember some people, like, they met me in person or even just by DMs, and they were like, yeah, like, every day I watch your stories. I like wait in the evening when you've posted everything of the whole day, and then I go and I watch all the stories. I'm like, that's sweet. Like, people just love the process. And through the process, I've met a lot of other people. I linked a lot of designers and companies together. I also got to meet other people, and other people contacted me to introduce me to other people. So it was a wholesome thing to do. Loved it very much. The company that Kipples was very happy with my collection, and it was just an amazing thing. I wrote a thesis on wool, and very much in love with the wool industry right now. I was again in Port Elizabeth about almost a month ago, and we had the talk of Africa, designers and different other people through Twig for the wool festival, and they were like, yeah, you have become the unofficial wool ambassador. I was like, okay, cool.
Nice. Oh, I love that. You know, from that story, I love, like, you mentioned so many things that I love. Because I was going to ask you, how did you find manufacturers, right? But when you told that story about the lady and the email that you had sent, I think sometimes you just find manufacturers through relationships and just being good to other people. So it sounds like that's how you found your manufacturers. And that's just incredible because, like you said, the lady was a little more careful about divulging information. But I think it just needed some time for her to see that you were someone that was trustworthy, for her to be able to trust you with that information. So to everyone that's watching, don't be too frustrated or disappointed if people aren't willing to divulge all the information, because we do know that the fashion industry is cutthroat, and there are some people who take advantage of other people. I just think be patient and keep being, like Dorcas was, kind to people. Just keep being yourself, and organically those opportunities will open up to you, and you'll be able to get in contact with the people that you need to take your business to the next level. And now that we officially know,
even Oh, and even the lady, the one that I told you that I was interning at, she is the person you referred to as my mentor, the one that I called when I didn't know what to do. Because now we have such a good relationship. Every time I struggle, I just send her a message. I call her my grandmother. I just send her messages every time if I'm struggling with something, and she's always willing to help. And one thing I think that's also very important that people do neglect a lot, gift giving. Just being very appreciative and giving someone something. You don't have to, but little things like those, people remember them. They touch people's hearts massively. And just also just being you and talking to people, being nice and easy. Because people in the fashion industry are very easy, even though people tend to think people are snobbish and, I don't know, they think they are whatever. But people are actually so easy and friendly. You just have to know how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is great advice. That is great advice that you have shared with the people. I hope everyone that's watching or listening to the podcast, I hope you're taking notes, because this is really awesome. And apart from having a mentor and being kind to people, what other resources have helped you in your business that you can recommend to other African fashion entrepreneurs?
Well, I don't have a mentor. Kat isn't my mentor. She's just someone I know. I am grateful and fortunate enough to have worked with a lot of people, especially, you know, I fell in love with styling and photography, and I just was sending everyone DMs. I'm like, I want to assist you. I want to assist you. I want to assist you. And I was assisting everyone. And that's how I got to know a lot of people. That's how I got to work with a lot of people. And when, for some reason, Instagram is an interesting tool. So when one person sees you, you've worked with this person, somehow they trust you more. Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning, it's such a funny thing. I don't know how to work with people that are not professional models. It's very weird, but I don't know how. Because from the very beginning, I was introduced to only work with the best. And then because for my first shoot ever, I didn't have money, no models, 2020. But I still asked people, I sent DMs to the best models you can find. I didn't even ask my friends. I sent models and was like, I have this thing and I would like this. Are you interested? And people were interested and people came through. And from that shoot, then it was published in a magazine in Paris. And then we then did another shoot and it was published in Bubblegum here in SA, and worked with a lot of people. Then one model was like, yeah, I only worked with you because I saw you worked with that person. And when they see that this person, that person, that person follows you, then they trust you more. And then the quality of your content, in the sense of like my pictures were always very good because I worked with professionals. So the presentation will be always good. It will be like you're collaborating with a jewelry maker, hat maker, shoemaker, fashion designer, stylist. And then you create a beautiful image. People trust you. People, like the right people, trust you. It becomes such an interesting thing. People send me DMs, publications. And then my brother would even ask me, what are these people seeing? I'm like, I also want to know. What? Like someone sent me an email. I would like to come and visit your studio. I'm like, which one? Work at my house.
That is awesome. The power of relationships.
No, relationships, have them. They're so necessary. So necessary. Yeah. Because you get to even when I was in Port Elizabeth, I got to I met various people, including Musto and Maxwell, the owners of Musto and Maxwell. The brand, the ones that won the Karl Lagerfeld Award for the Woolmark Festival, Woolmark Comprise just in 2022 here. And we hung out together for dinner when they came back from London. I think London, yeah. And then we were together in Port Elizabeth. And then from that first meetup to the second meetup, the information level changes because the relationship changes. You start getting all the juice. That's the best juice. So it's like the more friendlier, the more better connections you have, the more you avail yourself and you like reach out to people to learn, the better it gets for you. Yeah.
Oh, I love that you mentioned that. Reach out to people to learn, collaborate with people, and don't be afraid to, like you said, hey, I want to assist you. And you never know who will be open to that.
People say yes, because I mean, the person that I assisted, I ended up working with him, worked 3 times. And then next time we worked, my jersey was wearing my dress. And it's like, oh, cool. I wasn't expecting that. And then he called me the other day. He was like, well, Shaw and I are thinking maybe you can make this dress. I was like, and they were like, for today. They asked me like 3 days ago. I was like, no, that's crazy. I don't have the time. But like, you get such opportunities and you get to work with amazing people through the services you offer or the help you offer to give.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is so important. And I'm glad that you brought that up. So I have one last question for you before we jump into the lightning round. So this is, what do you wish you had known before you started your business?
I don't know. That's a very difficult one. I don't know if I wished I knew this before. I think the more you do it, you get to learn different things at different times. But I got someone who wanted to sponsor my business. Mm-hmm. And then to do that, you have to like sign deals and you have to know what you want. And like, especially if someone says they want shares from your company, which you must be very careful. So for some reason, I don't know. I guess I was, I don't know, wise enough, smart enough, I don't know. But I used my brain to think and be like, okay, cool. I know for a fact that I don't want to give anyone a share from my company, but I want the money. How do I do it? Now you pretty much having different people in different fields that understand things differently. So like a lawyer or an accountant, someone who can help you think is very helpful. Because from having an accountant, he's not my accountant, but he's my friend who's an accountant. I got to ask him like, okay, what should I do in this situation? So I think that's very important and helpful. But when it comes to what I wish I knew before starting a business, I don't know. I just do lots of random stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just do stuff.
Yeah, I think what you said is so important because that's another part of, because a fashion business is at the end of the day a business. So it's very important to know about contracts, know about agreements before you sign, before you take money from anyone. Make sure that you ask them, hey, what is the expectation? Is this a legal binding contract? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And that being clear about what you want to do with your company. That is awesome, Dorcas. I love that.
Read your contract before you sign anything. Read. Yes.
Get someone else to read it too.
Please. Preferably a professional lawyer or accountant or something.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to jump into the lightning round. And the lightning round is basically just whatever answer jumps into your head first, just say that. And the key is to answer as quickly as you can. Are you ready?
Okay.
First question, what is the best business book you have ever read?
None. I haven't read one.
Hey, that works too. Mm-hmm. What is the best purchase you have made so far in 2022?
Like my personal purchase.
Yeah, it could be personal, it could be business.
I think my Mohair scarf is my favorite thing.
Nice. This one is a little deep, but whatever the first answer is that comes to your head, it's what is your dream for your country and for the African continent?
For me, the reason why I started my brand is to eventually move back to Congo and have a good fashion industry brand that can represent the country, because we do not have the best brand there that can be on the level that South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana are at when we look at the world, the fashion industry internationally. That's why I have my brand. I want to be nice. That person.
I love that. I love that. Okay. And the final question, where can people connect with you and connect with your brand after this episode?
Well, you can go on Emilia D. If you go on Emilia D on Instagram, you can find me. You can contact me from there. My email address is available. You can also DM me, and I always check them. So yeah.
Awesome. And guys, all the information, like her Instagram handle, will be in the show notes on YouTube and also on your podcast app so that you can connect, follow her, send her DMs, support the brand, and just overall show some love to this amazing person who has come to speak with us today. I'm so, so excited for everyone to hear this episode. Like, this was great. You shared so many useful information with us, and I'm so grateful that you said yes to being on the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was actually lots of fun.
Yes. And you know one thing, I'm actually learning French. So I'm really? A beginner, but let me
don't
try
put you on the spot.
You speak French, right?
I do speak French, but I do tend to freeze when someone puts you on the spot. I'm like, especially when I've been speaking to you in English, my brain like took some time to switch back to French. It's like,
I totally respect that. All I know, like the basics is what I know. Bonjour, yeah. Comment ça va? The basics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you again, Dorcas. This was awesome. No,
thank you for having me. I had lots of fun.
Hey, thanks for listening to the episode. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps other entrepreneurs just like you to find the show. Don't forget to share your tweetable moments from this episode using the hashtag Business of African Fashion. And if you would like to hear from me, follow me on Instagram at Business of African Fashion. We're also on TikTok at Business of African Fashion. And remember, the destination is definitely worth the journey. Keep going, keep creating. Your story could be next.